Cut the Fat Podcast is brought to you by Dr. Ray Heinisch, Blythe Allberg, and cutthefatpodcast.com.
Good day, Fat Cutters. This is Blythe Allberg from Cut the Fat Podcast, and I am joined here in the virtual studio with none other than Dr. Ray Heinisch. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Blythe. Good day to you.
Thank you.
And to all our Fat Cutters out there. Today, we got a great show planned for you, which is part two of our discussion on becoming a pro. Right?
Yes, I'm looking forward to this one because we got on such a roll last time and it ended up being so full of information that we had to break it into two podcasts.
That's right. And people really have reported that they liked part one and can't wait for part two. So before we get into part two, let's just go ahead and very, very quickly review the qualities of a pro. Okay.
Okay. I'll read off a quick recap on the qualities. Number one, a pro shows up every day.
The amateur shows up sporadically.
Mm-hmm. Number two, the pro stays on the job all day long.
The amateur takes breaks.
Number three, the pro is committed over the long haul.
The amateur is in it for the quick fix.
Number four, the pro believes that the stakes are high and real.
And the amateur believes that the stakes are low because there's always tomorrow, right?
Right. Number five, the pro is patient.
The amateur wants results tomorrow or they quit.
Okay. Number six, the pro seeks order.
The amateur accepts clutter and disorganization in their life.
Number seven, the pro demystifies.
The amateur builds confusion by looking for more and more and more weight loss plans.
Mm-hmm. More information, collecting right. Information. Number eight, the pro acts in the face of fear.
And the amateur thrives on fear. The weight loss journey is scary, and we
yes.
fear that we're only going to have to eat bland foods and spend our entire life exercising, and the amateur fears that, so they do nothing.
Right, and it sounds that way going in. Number nine, the pro accepts no excuses.
And the amateur is an excuse machine.
Number 10, the pro plays as it lays.
The amateur wastes time complaining about their cards, about the mm-hmm. cards that they've been dealt.
Mm-hmm. Number 11, the pro is prepared.
The amateur wings it.
Okay. Number 12, the pro does not show off.
The amateur shows off their weight loss knowledge to anybody that will listen.
Okay. Number 13, the pro dedicates herself to mastery.
The amateur simply aims for competence.
Mm-hmm. Number 14, this is one of my favorite ones. The pro does not hesitate to ask
for help, and the amateur goes it alone.
Number 15, the pro does not take failure or success personally.
The amateur steps on the scale, and the number on that scale is a judgment on their character.
Wah, wah, wah. That's a tough one to get past, but it can be done. Number 16, the pro does not identify with her instrument.
Right. And number 16 is the pro endures adversity.
Okay. And number 17, the pro self-validates.
The amateur is validated by the praise of others.
Okay.
And by the way, they're also torn down by the criticisms of others.
Yes. Yes. That's an important one. I'm glad you said that. And the last one is the pro reinvents herself.
And the amateur believes themselves to be the cursed. Okay. On the planet, right? They're okay. The ones that that just accept their lot and say, you know what? This is just what the way it's going to be forever.
Just accepts fate.
That's right. So in this next section, what we're going to discuss is a little bit more concrete how-tos. Like, how do we go from an amateur to becoming a pro, to adopting those qualities that we all want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why don't we start by just giving you Stephen Pressfield's answers. And if you recall from the previous discussion, Stephen Pressfield is the guy who wrote the book, The War of Art and on Becoming Pro, and two great books. Mm-hmm. And you know, his answer to the question, how do you become a pro, is you practice. And you might be thinking, well, what exactly do you mean by you practice? Stephen Pressfield gives a very insightful answer to that question. He says, to follow a rigorous prescribed regimen with the intention of elevating the mind and the spirit to a higher level. A practice implies engagement in ritual. A practice may be defined as the dedicated daily exercise of commitment, will, and focused intention.
He's so descriptive. I love the way he puts things. It's so easy to understand. I mean, there's nothing that needs to be added to that.
Yeah, he's a fiction writer, so he does. He's very good about making sure that those points you can almost imagine in your own life. And, you know, he also takes it one step further, and he says, practice has a space, and that space is sacred. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that as we get into the discussion on how to become a pro, because that's an important quality as well, is that when we start to practice this healthy lifestyle, that we kind of make a space that is that sacred space for us to really build ourselves up, right?
And I think that's where a lot of us fall short, because life tends to get in the way of that space. But if you learn and practice, you know, building a wall and keeping that space sacred, as he puts it, we can protect that and continue to grow that space and place importance on that. And then it grows to be a bigger part of your life.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I was doing research for this show, I came across an article by a gentleman by the name of Ryan Holiday, and he's a contributor at Forbes magazine. And he had read the book and felt that the information to him was life-changing information. So he kind of did a synopsis of some of the key points about how to become a pro. So we're going to go through those 10 points here, and then we'll just talk a little bit more focused on how those points apply to your weight loss journey. Sound good?
Okay. Yeah, sounds great.
Okay, so number one is the first step to becoming a pro is to admit that you're an addict, okay?
Okay.
Pressfield says this. He says, we burn to accomplish something great, but don't know where to begin. Enter a drink, a lover, a habit. Addiction replaces aspiration. The quick fix wins over the long, slow haul.
I like that. And I remember hearing that when I was listening to the audiobook. And there are things that he says in that book. And if you guys are looking for a great read, I'd certainly recommend it. But that it really hits home with me when he says these things, that addiction replaces aspiration. That's so true in so many facets of life.
Oh, yeah. And addiction doesn't have to be food, does it? It can be
the
couch. It can be addiction to certain people in your life.
Or a certain routine.
To work, to shopping. Everything is connected in the weight loss journey. And I think it's very important that we start to connect our social group to our success or our failure in weight loss. Our job, you know, I mean, our habits, the people in our life, our family sometimes. It's all connected. And we really have to really ask ourselves or do an inventory of your life and uncover your addiction to those things that are the quick temporary fixes to long haul problems.
Okay. We can look at this like a therapy for yourself. You know, get to the root of the problem or get to the bottom of that really, really core feeling and find out how it's affecting your weight loss journey or your shopping habit or, you know, any other addiction that you might have.
Yeah, you have an aspiration to feel good about your body, but instead you choose the fast acting but temporary fix of eating a cookie. So I think, you know, how I'll define addiction for our discussion is a quick, temporary, pseudo fix for long haul problems that require real solutions. Mm-hmm. That to me is the addiction, the quick, temporary, pseudo fix. It's the quick feel good that is what we're addicted to when it comes to body transformation.
You know what though, Ray? I think that works both ways. What about when you get that really motivated feeling in your life and you're like, you know what? And it usually happens around January 1st for most. And if it hasn't this year, maybe in the past, you can reflect and remember. But when you are really, really motivated and you find a great diet or you find something that really, really rings true to you at that moment and you want to get in the gym and give it your all and give 110%. That can also be a quick fix. You know what I mean? Because you're doing it for the moment, but are you prepared to do it for the long haul? So it could either be the cookie or the exact opposite of that.
That's a great point. In fact, you know, a diet book can be the quick fix.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
that's buying a new diet book.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to say that learning something new is easier than doing something old, right?
Yes, I like that one.
So the pro doesn't turn her gaze from the real solutions that she knows are going to require focus, dedication, and hard work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the point is that before we can move deeper into becoming a professional, we need to first see the areas where we're putting a Band-Aid over a gushing wound and acknowledging that we don't want to accept the real cure because we're afraid of the stitches, the surgery, and the recovery that are needed to fix the real problem, right?
Okay, I love that.
And so that's number one. Admit that you're an addict, and what you're addicted to is the quick, temporary pseudo fixes that we're using for long-haul problems that really need real solutions.
Okay.
Good?
Mm-hmm.
Number two.
Hit bottom. And his quote to go with that is, I applaud your story of how you hit bottom, because at the bottom, there is no one there but yourself.
You know, I was thinking about this, Blythe, and I was wondering, why would being by yourself at the bottom be an advantage? Then I went back to thinking about the pro. You know, the pro is the one who stands alone on the free throw line when the game is on the line. The pro is the brain surgeon who may be surrounded by 10 support staff, all of which are important, but is the one that when the doo-doo hits the fan, is the one who has to make the decision, the one who will be held responsible in the end, the one who will have to be ready for every circumstance, the one who will have to look the family in the face and give the news, whether it's good or bad. You need to meet that person within you who takes total responsibility for your circumstances.
You know, all of us have sat alone and had time alone and reflected upon ourselves. And I think oftentimes, you know, without the confusion of a radio or the television or your computer in front of you, you really start to self-reflect to some degree. Now, everybody's a little bit different, but that's almost a little scary when you start having those true talks with yourself. So I see how hitting bottom and having that bit of solitude could really put you in a place where it might not be comfortable at first, but with practice, it can be comfortable.
Yeah, they say adversity introduces you to yourself, right? And the truth is, whether you have 10 pounds or 100 pounds to lose, you have to meet the brain surgeon within in order to get to the next level. You need to meet that person who lives without excuses, instead takes total responsibility for the outcomes. You know, and sometimes this person stands at the bottom of the pit or the rut waiting to tag in, and we just have to get there. We have to allow ourselves to get there, right?
Yes.
And, you know, when we are able to self-medicate with food or with the couch, then really what we're doing is we're not allowing ourselves to get down at the bottom and meet that person.
Exactly. That you create some sort of confusion or distraction.
Right. So number three.
Ignore the opinions of others. This is one of my favorite ones, and I'm going to add my own little thing at the end of this quote. The amateur craves third-party validation. The amateur is tyrannized by his imagined conception of what is expected of him. He is impressed by what he believes he ought to think, how he ought to look, and what he ought to do, and who he ought to be. The closest thing I can get to this, personal experience-wise, is bringing your own chicken breast to, let's just say, a Super Bowl party. Okay, you know you're going to go, and they've got nachos and all sorts of stuff, and everybody is going to say, what did you bring your own food for? And, you know, you don't really want to be the rude person and say, well, I don't know how you cook your food, or I don't know if you put oil on your grilled food, whatever. You have to be okay to hear others' opinion, but you don't really have to listen to what they have to say, because really the outcome is for self, not for the approval of everybody else.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to be present during the moment of inner transformation for a number of people. And you want to know what I see, Blythe? You become pro when you decide to do it for yourself. Not because your husband wants you to, not because your doctor wants you to, but because you want you to. And then at that moment, you stop talking about what weight your doctor wants you to be or what weight you need to be the skinniest in your group of friends. You do it out of a need to stay true to yourself, to be respectful to yourself, your goals, your aspirations, your future. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't use your family as a motivator. Oftentimes,
That's
I right. hear people say that, you know, I want to be healthy so that I can dance at my daughter's wedding or graduation mm-hmm. or be an example for my kids. That's great. Use that for fuel. In the end, though, your weight loss goals need to attach to a selfish purpose. When I hear the shift in how people talk about their weight loss, so not that they admit, so basically they start to admit that they want it for themselves. You know what I mean?
Yes.
For
yes,
their they, own health, their own energy.
Like they, yeah, like they finally come to the understanding that this ultimately is about them, for them, from them, with them, to and, them.
And when they start using that terminology when they're talking about weight loss, that's when I know they're making great strides mm-hmm. towards becoming a pro. You know, but whenever it always shocks me and it always kind of drains me a bit when I hear people say, well, I want to do it because my, you know, one time a client of mine said her son looked at her as he was eating breakfast and said, you know, Mom, you're getting fat. And she that was what kind of motivated her to come and see me. But there's not much to work with there, because unless you have that person constantly trying to guilt you towards movement, then the moment that you're not in their presence, you start to forget that. This mm-hmm. You carry yourself with you wherever you go. So you need to do this for yourself. It's the only way you're going to have long-term success with this.
Right, right. I think you just hit the nail on the head with that. That's the only way you're going to have long-term success is when you are doing it solely for you.
Right, which brings us to the next action step, which is to have empathy for yourself. Mm-hmm. And Pressfield says, in his heart, the amateur knows he's hiding. He knows he was meant for better things. If the amateur had empathy for himself, he could look in the mirror and not hate what he sees. Achieving this compassion is the first powerful step towards moving from being an amateur to being a pro. You know, people who hate themselves don't successfully lose weight, do they, Blythe?
No. Usually it's because they're doing it to please somebody else. I mean, that kind of winds in with number three, is ignoring the opinions of others. When you're constantly, let's just say your spouse, when you're constantly being reminded, you really need to lose weight, you really need to lose, you've put on 20 pounds or whatever, you're constantly being reminded, you're not really at the core doing it for you at that point.
That's true. And people who attempt to use guilt as a primary motivator fail 100 out of 100 times. Yes. I'm convinced of that. Guilt is a disempowering motivator. It may get you to take action initially, mm-hmm. but the net effect is always negative. So you really need to sit down with yourself and figure out what you love about yourself. And you know what? Start with little things. Perhaps you like the look of your toes. You know,
yeah.
Perhaps you have beautiful toes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a seed. And empathy can grow from there.
I like that. Everybody's got something they love about themselves, whether it be secret or public.
Right. And we don't care. You know, whatever it
care.
Is, accept it.
Number five, work the program. Pressfield says, turning pro is like kicking a drug habit or stopping drinking. It's a decision to which we must recommit every day. 12-step programs say one day at a time. The professional says the exact same thing.
This is a crucial one. It speaks to expectations, right? If you expect that there will ever come a day when you won't want to eat sweets, that you won't want to sit on the couch instead of hitting the gym, that you're in crazy land. You know, I mean, sure, there may be a craving to do something healthy.
Yes.
It'll get easier, but those tasty treats will sing to you forever.
It doesn't go away. Your perspective may change on them a little bit, which is where I tend to find myself, but it doesn't ever go away, ever.
No, and that couch will feel just as cozy and comfortable when you're at your perfect weight and body fat percentage as it does when you're overweight. The pro just won't get distracted and diverted right. by those things. The pro will drag themselves from the coziness of their couch to go for a run or to hit the gym. The pro will eat well today for tomorrow's energy and fitness,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But the big point there in that quote was the fact that the 12-step program says one day at a time, and the professional says the same thing, because they know that they have to recommit to the journey every single day and practically every minute of their life.
You have to make a conscious choice every day.
Right.
You can either move toward your fitness goal or away from your fitness goal. That's one of my favorite little things, you know, especially when you're looking at food or exercise.
And, you know, when we say work the program, you know, there's a secondary meaning there, and that is you've got to build a system in your life. You know, you and I were just talking about systems before we got started, you know, with our podcast today. And the reality is everything in life can have a system. Even your family life can have a system, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And the more structured and systematized it is, the smoother it runs. And I think that, you know, any parent out there knows that. Anybody who runs a household knows that, whether you're single or married or it doesn't matter. You know, if you have a system and a way of doing things, it makes it much simpler.
Right. And you schedule the things that are important in your life. You schedule the people that are important in your life.
Exactly right.
All right. Onward.
Number 6, have your epiphany. And here's what Pressfield says. The essence of epiphanies is the stripped away of self-delusion. We thought we were X. Now suddenly we're minus X. We're X divided by infinity. There is a great power in this moment.
Now, you know, this one can get a little bit airy-fairy for some folks, but I'll tell you this. I'm obsessed with figuring out the formula for manufacturing epiphany. And this definition is probably the closest that I've found. He says, the stripping away of self-delusion. What this says to me, Blythe, is that epiphany is a process, not some moment where the stars seem to align and you just feel motivated to change. Mm-hmm. It's like peeling away self-delusions until you feel an unyielding motivation to become something better. Okay. And this is, I mean, this one's a little abstract, and I don't quite yet know how to solidify this one for you, but just for now, I'd say just be open towards these epiphanies, these moments where you peel away a self-delusion of yours.
Okay. I like that. To me, this means finding a shortcut to your epiphanies so you can have more of them in a shorter amount of time. So pay attention when you have an epiphany and like at that moment, just stop and recognize what just happened and what got you there so you can revisit that more often. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think what you're saying basically is pay attention to the small moments in your life where you start to realize things about yourself.
Yeah, and notice the things that are the similarities, you know, so you can sort of feel as you start to fall into that again. Because I think it's a formula, like you said. There's a mindset. There's a time. You're probably not distracted by a whole bunch of things when you have these epiphanies. So if you were to be able to plan having an epiphany, you would take away all of those distractions, and that would at least start you in the right place, right?
Or
in that direction.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Cool. So I mean, there's not much more to be said on that one because we still don't know the formula for epiphany, but. You know, at least we can figure out that it comes at the other end of getting rid of the self-delusions, which means we have to really pay attention to those moments where we have an opportunity to learn. So they come at the other end of a lot of our failures in life. You know, like Tony Robbins says, you know, when you win, you party. When you fail, you ponder. And it's in those small failures. It's in those moments where we actually eat the cookie when we didn't want to, where we start to ask ourselves, well, why did I do that? And then we start to get to those kind of small, tiny little epiphanies that you were talking about that eventually will add up to a total transformation. But it's the kind of thing that you peel away. It takes time, like peeling an onion.
Yeah. I think this podcast might do that for some people.
I know it has. And that's what brings our life great joy, isn't it, Blythe?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so on to number 7, embrace ambition. Pressfield says, ambition, I have come to believe, is the most primal and sacred and fundamental of our being. To feel ambition and to act upon it is to embrace the unique calling of our souls. Not to act upon it, that ambition, is to turn our backs on ourselves and on the reason for our existence.
Okay. There's a lot to be said about ambition. That's like that little burning fire that you have to go do something.
Right.
Go ahead. I was going to say, what is the actual definition for ambition? I don't have it in front of me, but what is your definition of ambition?
Well, I found that a lot of people who struggle with weight view ambition as a negative entity in their life, but it's not. Because when you define ambition as a strong desire to embrace our calling – then lacking ambition becomes a sin to our existence. When we lack ambition, then we will have a deep gnawing sensation within our nervous system that can be quelled by either embracing that ambition or by covering it with things that make us feel good in the moment. Food, couch, and other damaging vices. So the way I would describe ambition is the strong desire to embrace our calling. And Blythe, that's actually kind of an uncomfortable feeling, which is why sometimes what we end up doing is we end up eating in this place, right? Because we're not pursuing the life that we want to pursue, or the life that we feel we are born to pursue.
I was going to say drowning that ambition, doing something else to sort of jade that feeling that you're having.
Right. It reminds me of a story. One time when we were on our radio show, and a guy calls up and he's asking or inquiring about energy levels. And I might have told this story before, but I'll tell it again. And he says, you know, I'm having trouble with energy. He says, what supplements can I take to improve my energy? And I got to asking him some questions. I said, well, what do you do? He says, I'm an accountant. I said, do you like your work? He says, no, I hate my work. And I said, well, it's no wonder you have low energy. You hate your work. You hate you hate how you spend the most of your time of waking hours within a day. Yeah. It's no wonder your body has no energy.
That's exhausting.
It is exhausting. And that's one manifestation of when we don't allow ourselves to feel that emotion or that feeling of ambition. Long story short, Monday comes along because the show's on Sunday. Guy calls up, calls our office, and he says, you remember that guy that you talked to on the radio yesterday, the accountant? He says, yeah. This was my partner at the time. He says, well, he didn't show up for work today.
Okay.
So he was an owner. He was one of the owners of the accounting firm, and he decided at that time that he no longer wanted to be an accountant, and he started to pursue his ambitions from there. So obviously, you know, sometimes we kind of – that's kind of a moment of epiphany for that guy.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just need to allow ourselves to feel that no matter how scary it may be, right?
And sometimes when other people help you along with your idea, you know, he took the first step by calling and asking you about that. I think he, deep down, he really knew the answer to that, but you saying it out loud helped him recognize what he was feeling.
Right. And so ambition's not a bad thing, folks. And you really need the ambition because that's what really fuels you. That's what really fuels you during the hard times.
Take it and run with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, cool. So on to the next.
Okay. Cut out distraction. The amateur tweets, the pro works, is what Pressfield says.
This one is a honey, okay? I mean, this one really is an important one. Because lack of time is the number one complaint that we hear. And when we do an inventory of how people spend their time, we find miles of room for improvement. We waste so much time on distractions in our life. Mm-hmm. And that's time that can be dedicated towards the achievement of our ambitions, right?
Absolutely. And I think you're right. That is probably the number one, you said complaint, I'm going to say excuse of why people can't fit in, you know, either preparing their food or exercise or change in your life. As it is, for that matter. I mean, I can look at somebody's life. You can look at somebody's life and say, okay, here's where we're making changes.
Finding an hour a week to dedicate to making food can mean the difference between success and failure for people, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's so important.
So the amateur tweets, the pro works.
Love it. That's easily understood. I love that.
Right. Number nine, become a creature of habit. And Pressfield says the difference between an amateur and a professional is in their habits. An amateur has amateur habits. A professional has professional habits. We can never free ourselves from habit, but we can replace bad habits with good ones. Mm-hmm. We can trade in the habits of the amateur and the addict for the practice of the professional and the committed artist or entrepreneur.
Okay.
Now, this is where the rubber meets the road, right? Amateurs have amateur habits and pros have professional habits.
Mm-hmm. And I think the link to those, to link those two together, you establish a new routine to create a new habit, And with the practice of that habit comes the pro or the perfection.
Right. And as I mentioned, this is where the rubber meets the road, is in the habits that we develop for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just really sit on that one for a while. You know, if we strip the delusions from our life, we start to see that eating well for breakfast and lunch and then letting loose for dinner through bedtime is not a good diet. And that's not doing the right things. That's not being a professional fat cutter.
Right. Or Monday through Friday, you're totally on, and then the weekends you're off.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. Number 10, a play for tomorrow. And Pressfield says, our role on Tough Nut Days is to maintain our composure and keep chopping away. We're pros. We're not amateurs. We have patience. We can handle adversity. Tomorrow, the defenses will give us more, and tomorrow we'll take it.
You have to adopt this programming into your operating system in order for it to work. Professionals deal with the same challenges. They just persevere when amateurs tap out, right?
Right. That's a very simplistic way of understanding it. I think because it's become habit. I mean, I think this all kind of rolls into one. Because making these choices and things have become such habit, it feels like less of an effort, although it's still required effort.
Right.
To make the decisions to keep you moving in the right direction.
Right. So you just have to, push past the pain, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Push past the pain. And the pain isn't as bad as it feels in the moment, generally
speaking. You're right. I like that, because looking back on any pain you've had in your life, whether it be through weight loss or you broke your leg falling out of a tree, you look back and you never remember the pain as painful as it was in that moment. So keep that in mind.
Absolutely. So, you know, some final thoughts here, and then maybe I'll get into just some really quick, specific action steps. But Pressfield says, and this comes, I guess, somewhere near the end of the book, he says, never forget, this very moment we can change our lives. There is never a moment, and never will be, when we are without the power to alter our destiny. This second, we can turn the tables on resistance. This second, we can sit down and do our work. And to put that in a nutshell, he talks about how, you know, this kind of sensation of resistance, mm-hmm. the cure is just to do the work, you know?
Right now.
Right.
Just stop and do it now.
When you feel like you're lazy, the cure is to just go for a walk. You know, when you feel like you're eating a bunch of junk, the cure is to sit down and eat some good food. Some salad, some protein, and let yourself feel that sensation, right? It's just doing the work is the cure.
You're right. And, you know, I had an epiphany. Here's a little story about me. After my third child, and I was really, really dedicated. I had totally been in my bodybuilding and figure competition mode prior to getting pregnant with my third child. And I had decided that I was going to compete again before he turned one. So I had this goal set out for myself. Now, I wasn't exactly sure how I was going to do it, because for me at that point, it was, you know, the habit and the persistence and everything just sort of led to me getting into great shape again. And yes, it was painful. And yes, all of the things, you know, about becoming a pro were still falling into place. But I had an epiphany one day when I was sitting on the couch and I was really tired, because you know what it's like having a newborn baby. You don't get a lot of sleep, or you get a lot of interrupted sleep. Let's just say that. And I decided, instead of feeling tired and laying on the couch and watching an episode of TV, I will walk on the treadmill instead. And I don't know why that became such a thing for me, but I had an epiphany. And instead of doing one habit of relaxing and watching TV for an hour, I decided to crowd that habit out and make a new habit of just walking on the treadmill. It was just to do something. And that little bit of activity changed my life. helped me get past those times of feeling tired and, you know, a little bit depressed after just having a baby. And, you know, it was a real life thing for me.
That's a great example of that final kind of moment where you've just got to really come to the realization that It's movement. Movement is the solution.
And right? It started as an idea. Yeah, exactly. To inertia. It was an idea. And that moment I got up out of the chair, I got off Facebook and I got on the treadmill and I just started walking. And that's what it took. I remember that moment in my life.
Awesome. Great. Well, let me go ahead and give a few action steps here, just to, you know, some concrete action steps to kind of get you moving. All right. Number one, first, we have to accept that we have been amateurs up to this point and that we have to make the hard decision to become a pro. So basically what I want you guys to do, action step number one, is to raise your right hand and repeat after me. I am making the conscious decision to become a pro as it pertains to my health and fitness, period. All right. So that's step number one, is just to make the decision that you're done being an amateur. Now you're going to be a pro. All right.
Can do. Yes.
Number two, before we decide to become a pro, we have to accept that it comes at the other end of self-sacrifice. Professionals practice a lot. They practice hard. It's repetitive. It's not fun, but it's worth it. And it's essential, not optional. Amateurs think practice is optional. Pros know that it's essential. So if you're heading out for a walk and your spouse asks you where you're going, you can reply, I'm heading out to practice. And if you accept that hard work is ahead, then you can move forward and become a pro. All right?
Cool. Yeah.
Number three, if you decide to become a pro, accept the hard work and sacrifice, then your next step is to keep stats on your performance. Mm-hmm. You can do this in many different ways, but the reality is professionals keep score. Mm-hmm. How will you keep score? What will you measure? How will you know when you're winning, when you're losing? Will you keep weight, measurements, body fat, food journals, exercise logs? Just keep it simple, but keep a log, right? You change what you measure.
And yeah, absolutely. I like that. And have that become a system. Have that become something regular that you do.
A habit.
Systematize it. Yes. Have it become a habit.
Number four, start speaking like a professional. Learn the language. Practice the fundamentals until they're mastered. You need to become proficient with food, weights, high-intensity interval training, cardio. Basically, you have to master your craft, right? You're going to become a pro. You have to act and speak like a pro, right?
And be sure to ask questions, because you can get help to get there.
Absolutely. A pro has dedicated workspace, right? The football player has an arena. Mm-hmm. The writer has her desk. The brain surgeon has her operating room. You have your kitchen. Make sure that you have a professional workspace. You wouldn't want your brain surgeon operating room to be dirty and filled with bacteria. Likewise, junk food is like dirt and bacteria to your kitchen, right? Get it out.
Okay. Like how you put that.
Finally, give yourself a break, all right? There is an old Chinese proverb that goes, be kind, for we are all fighting a hard battle. Mm-hmm. I remind myself of this practically every day. It applies to other people in our life, but it also applies to ourselves. Be kind to yourself, for you are fighting a hard battle.
Okay, I like that.
Anything to add?
No, I think that's full of a ton of golden nuggets, and I hope we rang some bells for people with that podcast.
I do too. All right, so tell everybody how they can kind of get involved with the community.
Yeah, guys, make sure you check us out on Facebook, Cut the Fat Podcast. It's all one word, no spaces. Join our Facebook page, like our Facebook page. You can also find us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. We've got a blog on there, some recipes. Ray's pretty good at continuing to keep things moving as far as the website goes. If you guys have questions, we both love to go on Facebook and answer them. I love when you guys go out there and share things, whether they be advancements that you're making or maybe difficulties that you're having. Chances are, or the odds are, you're not the only one out there. So share them. We can all learn from them. We want everybody out there to become the expert on themselves.
Absolutely. Visit us on iTunes. Just search for Cut the Fat. Go on there. Leave a review. That always helps us out. We'd love to read those reviews. And tell everybody. Tell your friends. Tell your families to get involved with the Cut the Fat community. All right.
All righty, guys. Peace out.
All right. See you next time here on Cut the Fat Podcast. Peace out.